Good morning, everyone. Can you hear me all right? Amen. My name is Ayo, and I'm a volunteer at Eastside City Church. I usually will be with the technical team, but it's my honor this morning to bring the Word of God to us. And I trust that God will do that which He has spoken in our lives in Jesus' name. I'd like to thank, you know, Pastor Todd and Pastor Jan for the opportunity and also the leaders of Eastside. Can we put hands together for the leaders of Eastside City Church? Thank you. Amen. So before I go, I have an assignment to do. I was praying and preparing for, you know, this meeting, and God spoke to me about two things. And the first, I don't know if this is somebody watching online or somebody in here, but the first one is that you've been, in your life, you've had to prepare for things. You've set something that you want to do, and then you go all the way to try to do it. And when you're almost there, something happens. And that thing that you want to do, you're unable to do it again. And that has happened over time again and again in your life. And you've noticed already, and you're worried about it. And now you're starting something new, and you're worried. Nothing has happened yet, but you're already bothered that something will happen. And the Lord asked me to tell you that siege is broken in the name of Jesus. That whatever you lay your hands upon will prosper. And at the end of the meeting, if we have some time, you know, we can come out and I'll pray for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, we'll continue on our series, the Miracles of Jesus. And we've had great people share with us in the last couple of weeks. And I don't want us to talk about another story, because we've had great leaders on earth, you know, who have gone through this earth. And when we remember them, we say, oh, you know, that man, he was a great man. You know, he was a great person. But do you notice that Jesus is not like that? We don't use was for Jesus. We don't say Jesus was a great man. We say Jesus is Lord. Amen. That means Jesus is alive. Amen. He's alive. He's not dead. So if he were dead, we would say he was a great God. No, he was not a great God. He is a great God. So when we talk about Jesus today, we're not talking about somebody that has passed. We're talking of someone that is alive. And then he said in the Bible that wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst. So Jesus is here today. Amen. Can somebody say, welcome, Jesus? Okay. I just want you to know that he's here. So we're going to go through, the title is Miraculous Provision, Finding Faith in the Mouth of a Fish. And that's a very notable miracle that Jesus did in the book of Matthew. And we're going to go through it. For the purpose of, I know we're familiar with the story, but just to tell the story in modern terms. This is Jesus dealing with an emergency situation by turning the mouth of a fish to an ATM. Technically, you know, that's exactly what happened. There was an emergency. They needed money. Peter had nothing in his pocket. And Jesus is like, come on, we got to make money come from somewhere. Okay, there's a fish somewhere. And you got to just go get that fish and get the money out. Amen. And that's very cool. Isn't that cool? That Jesus can make an ATM out of a fish. But much more than that, there's something important that this story is teaching us. You know, because I you know, if you look through the Bible, you realize Jesus doesn't just do miracles. He does them for a purpose. So much more than providing the money, there is something Jesus was saying. And that's what we're going to get into today. So if you have your Bibles with me, and if you are online or you are in the building, just turn to Matthew 17, 24 to 27. And it's also on the screen. Okay. So please follow me very closely. When they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, "Does your teacher not pay the temple tax?" He said, "Yes." And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, "What do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their son or from strangers?" Peter said to him, "From strangers." Jesus said to him, "Then the sons are free. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and you." Amen. Okay, before I go, I'd like us to pray 1 minute. Father, we pray over your word in the name of Jesus. The Bible says the entrance of your word gives light and gives understanding to the simple. You sent forth your word healed them and delivered them from destruction. Lord, send your word to us today. Let us hear you in the text of this passage. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So that's the story. Like I said, short scripture, but lots of things that Jesus is saying. So usually when I, you know, like study the Bible, I like to ask questions, you know, and I'm like, how did the coin get into the mouth of the fish? Then I think about it. Okay, could it be that somebody threw the coin into the river maybe days before or weeks before? Or was it like when God made that fish originally in Genesis, did he just put the coin in the mouth of the fish? So you can think, you know, wide about how did this miracle come about? And that is why it's a miracle, because we're not supposed to be able to explain it, you know. So Jesus is a miracle worker. That's the first thing we need to know. Jesus is a miracle worker. And he still does miracle. He still does miracles. So we need to understand that this miracle has an order. There's an order to it. There's a sequence of events that triggered this miracle. But before we go on, the first thing I want to highlight in this miracle is, and this is kind of important, this is tax. This is temple tax. And, you know, will it be very good to say that even Jesus did not pay tax? And in modern times, again, let me give you the way it will be. It's going to be on the headline that Jesus, the self-acclaimed Messiah, is having problem with CRA. That's what you're going to see on the paper. You know, that even Jesus doesn't want to pay his own fair share of taxes. You know, what should the people in Canada do? You know, so that's exactly the way it would have turned out. That's why I said it was an emergency. So Jesus had to step in. And this is the only time in the scripture that Jesus had to do a miracle, you know, so that we don't offend somebody. This is the only time. So tax is an obligation. It's not something you should run away from. And if you are a Jesus follower, I want you to know that your provision comes from Jesus. Your provision comes from Jesus. When I talk of provision, you know what you need today, but you don't know what you will need tomorrow. So what I can tell you, what the Bible tells us, is that our needs have been provided. Not just what you need today, but what you don't know you will need, even tomorrow. Can somebody say amen? So this is tax, this is emergency, Jesus had to do something. But the very first lesson that I want us to see from that scripture is that Jesus said, let's do this miracle so we don't offend them. And I thought about that. Jesus, if you read the Bible in previous places, Jesus made some very heavy statements that got the priest and the Pharisee very, very annoyed. Something like Jesus said, "Before Abraham, I was." They were so angry. Like, what do you mean? We know you. We know your house. You know, we know your house. We know when you were born. How can you say you were before Abraham? And then Jesus said, the Father is in me and I am in the Father. And they went, But this same Jesus now said, let's give them money so we don't offend them. So, Jesus wasn't trying to be right. You know, the first thing I want us to take out from this is that you don't have to be right every time. You see, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it said there's time for everything. There's a time for war and there's a time for peace. There are times you fight for your rights. And there are times you let go. And if you don't understand the difference, you will get into trouble a lot of time. So Jesus could have said, let me tell you what he could have said. I am the Messiah. I pay no taxes. You know, we're not strangers. We're sons. The sons are free. I don't care what they say. I'm not paying this money. But I'm shocked that Jesus said, you know, let's not offend them. Let's pay the taxes. So you might realize that sometimes you want to fight for your rights. And I'm not saying it's not okay to fight for your rights. You just must know the differences. You must know when to fight and when to keep quiet. There was a time in my life that, this was like about 5 years ago, and we were traveling, and we were living in Lagos. We had some furniture, and of course, so I told my wife, this furniture, I think we should get rid of it. And she said, no, we should give it out to someone that I know. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. So I told my neighbor, who lived in the same apartment with me, we're traveling, we won't be here again, this furniture, some people are coming to pick them up. The only thing you need to do is just open the door for them. That's all. And he said, oh, okay, no problem, I'll do it. And then we left, maybe like a week after. Then those people called me and said, we couldn't get access to the house. So I was like, what's going on? We called your neighbor and he wasn't picking up the phone for days. And I was so angry. I told my wife, how could he do that? You know? Okay. And as God will have it, a few weeks after, he called me and needed a favor. So when I saw the text message, I laughed. You know that kind of laughter? That kind of laughter that, okay. Now, finally, you called me. So I started typing my response. You know, I was typing very fast, you know, and I was typing like, you know, you even have the effrontery. That's what's going through my head. To even call me for help when you didn't. So I was typing all that. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to me, not immediately, but after maybe a few days. And he asked me a question that, do you want to be right or do you want to be righteous? So I sat down again. But you know I want to be right. Because deep within me, I'm looking for a way to, like, you know, because it disappointed me, I should do the same back. You know, it doesn't deserve a favor from me because of what he did. And so I deleted all the messages I was typing. I removed it. And I just kept quiet. And did you know what happened? We never spoke. But then he sent me another message. He said, I just want to apologize. And I'm sorry. And, you know, when that happened to me, it was a strong lesson. Because it's not all the time that you have to be right. You know, and I've seen people ruin their relationships because they're trying to be right. They say, I was the one that was offended. Would you let go? No, I will not let go because I'm right. I know you're right. But you don't have to be right every time. Yeah, because Jesus did it. Jesus did it. Jesus didn't prove his right. He didn't say, I am a son. I'm not paying these taxes. He even had to do a miracle to get the money out, which is an extra mile, if you will call it that way. So, if you have relationships in your life that you are holding on to because you are right, I know you are right. But what the Lord is saying is that you should be righteous. Amen. You should be righteous. It's better to be righteous than to be right. It's better to be righteous than to be right. Being right is morally justifiable, but being righteous is spiritually justifiable. So it's a better thing. So back to this miracle, that's our first lesson. And the other thing that I want to highlight is that everybody has their part to play in the miracle. Who caught the fish? Say it. Peter. Okay. Who gave the instruction? Jesus. So what Jesus did, so in miracles, when God is doing miracles, there is always our part to play. Sometimes we don't know. We say God has done everything. Jesus has conquered the world. Yes, he has. But you have to fight your battles. You have to win the victory. So this is very, very interesting because Jesus said that. Jesus said, Peter, you need to get the fish. And give sequence of steps and instruction. And I want to go back into those steps just one after the other. So if you can help me go back to the Matthew 17 again on the slide. So the verse I'm looking for is where Jesus said, go to the sea. You can go to the next verse. Okay, thank you. Nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea. Go to the sea. Now, when you look at this, what Jesus is saying, there's a huge lesson here. You see, Peter was a fisherman. And Jesus told him to go to the sea. Right? Because Jesus is giving Peter an instruction that has to do with his area of expertise. So Jesus is not saying, Peter, go and climb a tree. Because Peter will be like, where do I start from? Jesus didn't say, Peter, go and fry some, go and make some food. He said, go to the sea. Because he's a fisherman. And when the Bible used the word sea, if you look through the scriptures in Psalms, you realize that the sea in biblical context is a place of trade. It's a place of trade. It's a place of business. It's a place where they exchange logs and wood, and cities do business together on the sea. And it's in the scriptures, 1 Kings 10:22, we see it there. For the king had a fleet of ships of Tarshish at sea with the fleet of Aram. Once every 3 years, the fleet of ship of Tarshish used to come in bringing gold, silver, ivory, apes, and peacock. Psalm 107 verse 23. Those who go down to the sea in ship who do business on great waters. So the sea is a place of business. Now, we're talking about financial miracle here. And if you look at this miracle, you realize that God did the miracle in the place of business. Amen. In the place of business. You can't be believing God for a miracle and you're not doing anything. You can't believe God for a miracle and say, I don't have any job or God will do it. No. It's not the way it works. Jesus told Peter to go to the sea. That means that you also have to go to the sea. And when you go to the sea, you go do business. And it is in the middle of that the miracle coin will come. I thought about it. Jesus could have just threw up his hand and just, pam, here is the coin. That would be a magic, not a miracle. You know, and magics are trick. And God doesn't trick us. So Jesus sent Peter to the sea to go do business. And like the scriptures I read, in the place of business, they do trade. So if you are believing God for a miracle, don't sit at home. Don't say that, you know, there's nothing to do, so God will do it. Please, no, that's not the way it works. He said, I will bless the work of your hands. Listen to it again. The work of your what? Hands. The work of your hands. That's what God blesses. God doesn't bless empty hands. God doesn't bless empty hands. And you can't be expecting God's blessing and stay idle. You know, people pray for miracles, but sometimes they don't expect that they will need to do anything. We just say, God, I believe you. I trust you. The proof of your trust is that you wake up in the morning and you say, yeah, we got to do something. That's the proof that you trust God. Amen. So Jesus' instruction about paying your bills is about going to the sea. It's about doing business. It's about engaging in exchange of value. That's the way he does miracles. You don't just get to your house and you just find some dollars on the floor and you say, Jesus has done it. You know, if that happens, we have to go check the CCTV and figure out how the money got there. So that is the miracle. So the miracle is in going. Amen. Is in going. So when you believe in God for a financial miracle, you got to do something. You know, you do something. Now, the next instruction that Jesus gave Peter, he said, go to the sea, cast a hook. If you can go back to that scripture again on the screen. He said, go to the sea, cast a hook. Meaning when you get to the sea, where they do business, don't sit down. You know, and say, I just came to watch and take a look at what people are doing. No, you got to be part of it. You have to participate. So he said, cast a hook. What do we use hook to do? We use it to bait fish, right? We throw something in and then we pull them out. That's activity. So if you're believing God for a financial miracle, you go to the sea and when you get there, you don't sit down. You cast a hook. Casting a hook might mean applying for a job. It might mean writing a letter. It might mean going for a presentation. You are taking opportunity. You're not throwing them away. That's what it means. And it might mean different things to different people. But when you get to the place of business, start a conversation. So I've seen people run into opportunities that God orchestrated because they were willing to cast a hook. You know, somebody just talking beside you, they say, oh, we need somebody. We're trying to find someone who can do some construction for us. And you're just right there. You're like, oh, I can. I can do it. Or I know somebody that can do it. So opportunities, you know, somebody said that opportunities, they come disguised like work. And they wear overall. So when you see opportunity, you don't recognize them because it looks like work. It looks like stress, you know. So Jesus said he should cast a hook. So you can't go to the sea and be a spectator. You know, the sea is not a cinema. It might sound alike, but you're not going there to watch. You're going to do business. Amen. So you get involved. And laziness is not a kingdom culture. It's not. If you hear anybody that says that, you know, God has done everything for us, it's not true. In this kingdom, we're not lazy. We're not lazy. In fact, Jesus said, I walk. How many of us remember that Jesus was a carpenter? For 30 years. Sometimes I think about it like if I'm the son of God and I'm the creator of the world and I know it and then I come in human flesh, what do you think I should do? Just sit down, right? Like I made everything. But Jesus was making table and chair for people to sit. And think about it, some people will come back and complain. Say, this chair is not very good. Can you make it like this and like this? And they are talking to the light of the world. And the light of the world is making the adjustment. Can you remove this nail? And he's removing it. Think about that humility. So if Jesus can walk, who am I? Let me show us one scripture in 2 Thessalonians 3, 7 to 11. And this is Paul the Apostle. Because most of us, all of us, we know Paul as a great minister. You know, he wrote like 2/3 of the New Testament. And this is 2 Thessalonians. He said, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eats anyone's bread free of charge. I think I'm reading like the Amplified. Yeah, this is the Amplified version, I guess. Free of charge. But worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. So Paul says that, I have the authority to say, you know, I preach to all of you, you should be taking care of me. He said, but I'm not doing it to show you an example. Verse 10 now said, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not walk, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in disorderly manner, not walking at all, but are busybodies. Somebody say busybodies. You know, and we used to use the scripture, my parents, they use the scripture a lot. You know, he that will not walk should not eat. So they call me, they say, come and do some house call. And I'm like, oh no, I'm not doing it. Okay, he that will not walk will not eat. Then at least you know you're gonna go do it. So that's the standard. We're not lazy in the kingdom. You know, God blesses us. He blesses the work of our hand. So, and I'll go to the next lesson. The next lesson in this is about the fish. So, please help me. Let's go back to that. So the fish. Jesus told Peter that when you get to the ocean, when you cast in a hook, get the first fish. Somebody say first fish. That's the instruction. The first fish that comes, open the mouth. You see the coin there. Now, when Peter gets to the ocean, Peter cannot be analyzing the fish. And say, you see, this kind of fish, the throats are very small. I don't think it will have the coin. Let me try another one. Do you get what I mean? It's not time for analysis. It's instruction. You get the first fish. So sometimes God can give you an opportunity that doesn't look like what you're looking for. You know, it doesn't look like he has what you're looking for. Maybe God gave you a business. And that business is a very common business that the whole world is doing. So you're like, this business can't be the business. But as you follow God's instruction, you just follow. Amen. We do what? We follow. So you see the sequence of instruction. Go to the sea. Cast a hook, take the first fish. Don't overthink it. Don't look at the species of the fish. It doesn't matter. What matters is the first one that you catch. You open the mouth, your miracle is there. And when he got the fish, something also happened. The coin in the fish was enough to pay for the taxes of Peter and Jesus. So sometimes when God gives you a miracle, it's not just for you. It's for you and other people. Because sometimes we are very self-concerned. We think about ourselves. When we're praying for the miracle, God bless me. Give me this. Give me that. God doesn't just do miracle for us. Because God is not looking for a storage. God is looking for channels. Channels. You know what they call channel of blessing? What that means is when God blesses you, you bless somebody else. So God is looking for channels, not people that just store the blessing. So when he does miracle, you will find this coin and you will find it that it will be enough for you and for other people. So I want to read Proverbs 11:25. The Bible says that this is Amplified version. Okay, I'll read the one on the board. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. There's something you can't see anybody in this world who said, I am poor. Why are you poor? Because I gave all my money. Have you seen anyone like that? You will never see. Because he that gives, more will be given back to him. It's a principle. You can't say anybody can outgive and then end up being poor because you were given. So when you get your miracle, because you will receive the miracle, when you receive it, it's not just for you. is for you and other people. I pray that God help us to be generous in Jesus' name. Now, the last point that I have is on guidance and direction. If you listen to what Jesus said, he gave Peter exactly what he needs to do and told him how to go about it to get the miracle. Now, to make this happen, Jesus had to provide both direction and guidance. Now, let me ask you a question. When you go to, I'm sure we've been in a situation where you had to ask for direction. Maybe you went to a city you're not familiar with. When you ask for direction from people, do you also ask for their phone numbers? Do you? No. Because you don't know them. You just ask them that, please, where is the church in the Northeast called Eastside City Church? They said, oh, you go like this and then you see it on this side. You don't ask for their phone numbers and their email and their home address. You don't bring them into your cars and say, follow me to the place. Because the only thing you're asking from them is direction. In life, we don't need just direction. We need direction and guidance. And the two comes from the Holy Spirit. So if you need a miracle, you need direction and guidance. It comes from the Spirit. Let me tell us the difference. Direction is just telling you where you will go. But guidance is telling, for example, if I have a direction, if I want to go outside, oh, I'm just supposed to go this way and then turn left. That is direction. But guidance is when you go, be careful there's a staircase so you don't fall down. That is guidance. It's not just telling me where I'm going. It's telling me what to watch out for. So when God is leading you, he will give you direction and guidance. And you must stick to both of them. That's where the miracle is. The miracle is in following the instruction. And we're going to pray today. The last scripture that I have, Psalm 119 verse 105. He says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's what the scripture says. Thy word is a what? Is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You see, the lamp on your feet, that is your guidance. The light to your path, that is your direction. So meaning you know where you're going, but at the same time, every step you take, God is leading you. Amen. So it's a combination of the two. That's what leads to the miracle. In Psalm, he said, he leads me in the path of righteousness. So God is the one that guides and leads us. And I want to pray for us today. You know, if you happen to have emergency, things that need a miracle. You know, emergency is not like, I want to buy a Lamborghini. That's a great thing. I like to have one. But that's not emergency. So if you have emergency, if you have things that you know that it needs a miracle, I want you to pray to God and ask him for two things, direction and guidance. Because we're just a few steps away from the miracle. Direction and guidance. So if you have a desperate financial situation like Peter and you need a miracle, you need God to do something. And you need direction and guidance. That's what I want us to pray about. And I want you to talk to Jesus. Can we bow down our heads and talk to Jesus? And tell Jesus that you are the miracle worker. I want you to do a miracle. I want you to do a miracle. I want you to do a miracle for me. I need your miracle. Tell him about the situation. Jesus can hear you because Jesus is here. Jesus is here. I don't want you to tell somebody. I want you to tell Jesus. Tell him about the situation. Tell him about what it is you need a miracle for. And we know that he's able to do it. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we can ask or think. according to the power that works in us. We believe you for miracles, Lord. We believe you for miracles. Earlier when I started, I talked about a situation where you know for yourself that there's been a pattern of when you try to do something, then something unexpected happens. Could be sickness, and that just destroys all your plans. And it has happened to you again and again. And you're now in that situation where you want to embark on something else, and you're scared. And you're worried. But I have the word of the Lord for you today. That God is in control. That He's able to do a miracle. If I have people like that, I'd like you to just wave your hands at me. And just believe God for a huge miracle today. That God will, He will make a way. He will break that siege. He will break that siege. He will break that siege. And the people, the other class of people that I like to invite, if you also have something that you need prayers for, something desperate, something that needs a miracle, you know if there's no miracle, it will not happen. I'd like us to come forward. I'd like to invite the pastors and the leaders. You can come forward and pray with people. If there is something you know, this needs a miracle. This needs a miracle. If there's no miracle, it cannot be. I just want us to trust the miracle working Jesus today. Trust the miracle working Jesus. I want you to try it. Try it. Try it. The Bible says God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. And I want us to trust Jesus today for miracles. I want you to trust Jesus for miracles. I want you to trust Jesus for miracles. If you have something you need a miracle for, please come out by faith. We stand with you by faith. Because it's a miracle working God.